Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Ephesians, thank you, musicians. Ephesians chapter 2. I got just a few verses. Would you stand with me and we'll read just a short passage of Scripture. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18 to 22. Just a few verses. It says this. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. I know my title here may seem a little strange, but I think you'll get it in a little while. It's talking about the household of God. It's really referring to the church. But my title is, Why People Leave the Church. Why People Leave the Church. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love You. I thank You. We ask even now, Lord, that You, Jesus, would be exalted. Lord, that Your church, Lord, would be lifted up. Help us, Lord. Open our understanding. Lord, that we would grow today, even in this service, Lord, in the Holy Ghost. Show us, Lord, of what You want us to know. Lord, put words in my mouth. Help us, Lord, to hear the word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. It's talking about being in the church. Amen. One of the very best things that have ever happened in my life, amen, is being in the church. My experience with God has brought me a mighty, mighty long way. Amen. Praise the Lord. And make no mistake about it. The church is absolutely, for sure, God's idea. It's not man's idea. It's God's idea. God established the church. The church wasn't invented by man. The church was established by God. Amen. Praise the Lord. In the Greek, church is ecclesia. I hope I pronounced that correctly. The called out assembly. In fact, the church is so special. You know, some people will say, well, you should join the church. Well, this church, or shall I say, this church that's in the Bible, you must be born into it. Amen. You don't just sign a card or, you know, you don't just put your name on a list. No, you are born again. You have a supernatural experience with God in order to be a part of the church. Amen. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must, someone say must. You must be born of water and of the Spirit. He was given insight into what was going to happen in the New Testament church. You see, to be born of the water and the Spirit, to do this requires that God and man work together. You can't do it all by yourself if you're a man. And God wants to use people to be the church. It's cooperation between man and God to be, to make, to have a church. You know, like a child cannot be born without a father and a mother. Likewise, a saint cannot be created without a church and a God. We need the church. And I'm not specifically referring to Apostolic Lighthouse, that 270 Norwich New London Turnpike, this local assembly. I'm talking about the church that is in the book of Acts, the church that the Bible speaks of, the called out believers that will believe the truth of the Word of God, the church, the body of Christ. Amen. We need to honor our church that helped birth us in the Spirit. Amen. I know the church that I received the Holy Ghost in, was baptized in when I was 11 and 12 years old, respectively. That was a long time ago and a half a continent away. But it still holds a very special place in my heart. My experience of growing up in God in Virginia, that church there holds a very special place in my heart. And when I go there, I see friends and people that I knew many years ago still living for God, and now their kids have kids in church. Praise the Lord. What an awesome thing it is. Praise the Lord. It's a special place, amen, to me. Amen. The church I went to in Bristol, Connecticut, where my son now pastors, it's a special place to me. Amen. And this church, I don't know of any other place quite like this place. Amen. It's a special place. I'm telling you. I've been to lots of churches and lots of places, and this is a special place. Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't take it lightly. Do not take it lightly. Amen, that there is such a special place as this. Praise the Lord. We need to recognize what a special place the church is. Praise the Lord. When you're a child, you often are foolishly critical of your parents. Oh, my parents are so old-fashioned. Oh, my parents don't know how I feel. Oh, this and that. Just the nature of children, youngsters, teenagers, amen, can often be foolishly, perhaps even unknowingly, critical of their parents, only to find out as they have children and they realize what their parents were doing when they dealt with them as kids, or as they get older, they have an appreciation for what dad and mom did. Amen. There is a new enlightenment that comes to life when you realize that the rules were for their protection. That all those things that mom and dad did had purpose. Praise the Lord. You see, Acts 2:38, it requires human and spirit baptism. It's a communication, it's a cooperation of man. See, a person has to be willing to repent. A person has to be willing to submit themselves to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And then willing to let God. God doesn't force anyone to speak in tongues. God enables you to speak in tongues through the Holy Ghost, through His Spirit. But you got to want it. You have to allow it to happen in your life. Praise the Lord. You know, when we are not praying, our spirit, like those sometimes foolishly critical or foolishly unknowing youngsters, when we're not praying and we're not activating our spirit and we're not walking with God where we should be, we can be foolishly critical of the church. The human side of us. Excuse me, sir. Ma'am. Without the church, you would not be saved. Without the body of Christ, without a preacher that I could hear the preaching from, without a place to feel the presence of the Lord, without the moving of the hand of God, you would not be saved. I would not be saved. Thank God for the church. Be thankful for the church. Certainly, we would be nothing in the Spirit. We would be lost. You cannot baptize yourself. You cannot fellowship yourself. God required the participation of a church in your life. Amen. I am so thankful for the church. I'm trying to exalt the appreciation that we have. Try to highlight, if I can, the church, the body of Christ. Even more so than this local assembly. This is a special place. This is a wonderful church. What a great church this is. And we need to appreciate it. I appreciate it. When you are young, your mother provides you with so much loving and tender care. When you're very small, carry you around, feed you what you need to be fed, and make sure it's the right temperature before, you know, sprinkle it on your wrist. Make sure it's not too cold or it's not too hot. And it's just the temperate, right temperature for the baby to feed. Then as the kid gets bigger, they start eating ribs. You know, steaks. My grandkids don't eat lobster yet, so yahoo. I get to eat the whole lobster. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Had lobster for Father's Day, by the way. Whew. Amen. I was thinking that's pretty nice, too. Praise the Lord. But when you're little, both in the flesh and in the spirit, things are fed to you. Things are, you know, you got to drink milk when you're real young. And when you get bigger, you get more adult kind of food, you know. You get to eat the ribs and the steak and the lobsters. But as you get bigger in the spirit, hope you'll take on some protein. I hope you'll get off the bottle. You know, get past just having milk. And have some real meat. Some real things that will nourish your spirit. Strengthen you in your spirit. Amen. And then, when you're mature, when you become an adult, hopefully you're not drinking from a bottle anymore. And when you're an adult and your parents are old, and I've been through this twice, two sets of parents, my parents and my wife's parents. When you're a full age and your parents need help, I hope you'll be there for your parents. I hope you will. It's like that in the church too. When you come of full age, when you become a full Christian, mature adult, living for God is your life. I hope you will take care of the church. The church has cared for you a long time. I hope you will take part in the things of the church. Thank God for the New Testament church. Praise the Lord. Thank God that God's wisdom established the church. You look at the example in the book of Acts, and you look at the New Testament overall. They did everything together. They prayed together. They fasted together. They fellowshipped together. They fished together. They traveled together. They worshiped together. They sang together. They feasted together. They studied together. They preached together. They hung together. Amen. It was a body of believers. And they did all those things together. It's an example of what the church should be. You can find it in the Bible. I like this quote. It's not particularly relating to the church, but it is relative. Ben Franklin said to the signers of the Declaration of Independence, "If we don't hang together, we will most assuredly hang separately." Knowing that they were about to be in a fight. Amen. It's the same in the church. We got to hang together as the body of believers in Jesus Christ. We got to hang out together. We got to sing together, pray together, fast together, worship together, study together. If we don't hang together in the Spirit, we will separately hang individually, which means you'll be attacked by the devil all by yourself. If you're not coming to church and hearing the preaching and being filled with the Spirit and being uplifted by the Holy Ghost, if you're not being encouraged, if you're not being lifted up, if you're not being helped, if you're not being encouraged by the church and you're all by yourself, man, you're going to have a impossible task to keep your spirituality right. Satan understands this very principle. That's why Satan works so hard to separate people from the body of Christ. The devil wants to pull people out of the church. The devil wants to pull you out of the church. The devil wants to pull the pastor out of the church. Well, I plan to be the oldest worshiping old man in church just before they put me in the ground. I ain't leaving the church. This is my life. I may do different things at different times in different places, but I'm not leaving the church. No, this is my life. This is how I choose to live. This is what I will do to the very best of my ability all of the rest of the days of my life. I've decided I'm not leaving the church. Amen. You got to decide for yourself. You got to decide for your own self. Because the devil wants to pull you out of the church. Well, my best friend don't go to church no more. Well, go to church anyhow. Well, this person and that person. Blah, blah, blah. Stop. Get yourself in the church. Don't make any other condition. Don't let any other person pull you out of the church. It's your choice to stay in the church. Stay in the church. Praise the Lord. The devil knows this principle. Separate him. Get him not to go on the prayer meeting. Get him not to go on a midweek service. Get him to skip sometimes on Sunday. The devil is very aware of the tactics, of his tactics. The enemy of our soul is to keep us out of the church. If he can keep us out of the church, he can keep us out of heaven. His tactics have worked spectacularly. So many people have been lost from the body of Christ, from the church. If you're not tapped in, if you're not plugged in, if you're not connected to, if you're not a part of the body of Christ, the church, you are in spiritual danger of being lost. It's dangerous to your soul. John chapter 15 and verse number 4. Abide in me and I in you. Let me jump to the next verse, number 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. You know, when a branch breaks off the tree, guess what? That branch dies. It's good for kindling. It's good to build a fire with, but it is no longer healthy. You see, that idea that creeps into the carnal man's thinking from time to time. You know, every one of us is born a person, right? You're a man or woman, boy or girl. You have a carnal nature. And our human carnal nature it at times will lead us to think, all I need is God. I just need Jesus. You do need Jesus. You do need God. That's partially true. I mean, it's wholly true, but it's not totally the only thing you need. You need the church. Don't think, well, I'm going to stay home and read the Bible on my couch and satisfy God. It's a deceptive lie to think that you can live for God all by yourself. You need God, yes, and you need the church. Amen. Scripture tells us, if you love me, keep my commandments. John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, it says, a new commandment I give you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Verse 35, get this now. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. You know, we need to be a part of this body. And we need to be showing our love, yes, for Jesus, and yes, for our fellow brother or sister in Christ. The family of God. The body of Christ. Jesus said our love for Him is mirrored by our love for the church. It's interesting to watch people come into the body of Christ with their life in a total mess. I think of myself coming into the church. Man, I was a mess, hoping to get unmessed up, hoping to get my life straightened out, hoping to do better than I was. Amen. Then after the church and the ministry nurses them back to health a bit, they help me live for God, they encourage me to come to church, they prayed with me, they fasted with me, they encouraged me, they helped me to live for God in the church. Then, you know, sometimes people will get maybe an attitude, or maybe a, I'm not really sure how to say this kindly, but they get a self-willed spirit. I mean, that's kind of soft. They get a will of their own. Perhaps they think, oh, well, they're not doing that right. Well, they shouldn't sing that song again. Oh, it's too loud. Oh, it's too soft. I can't understand the sound man is, or the musician or the drummer, or somebody's doing something wrong. Or, oh, they should have a class for them kids. You know, people start getting critical about other areas in the church. And yet that person that is critical is not filling the need in that area in the church. Hello? Yes, the church does need help. Please help the church. You see what I'm saying? You know, people will be thinking those things. It had never crossed their mind that they could pick up one of them efforts. That they could help in one of those areas. It's obvious to see. If you've got your eyes open, it's obvious to see that there are things to be done in the church. Yeah, it would be really, really great if we had multiple teachers for every class and multiple skilled musicians so that they could rotate in teams and fulfill different services at different times, and that there could, you name it. You know, we could use triple what we already have and still have needs of people working in the church. If you've been around for a while, get yourself busy in the church. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I was a mess when I came in the church. And the church helped me to mature, to become a Christian. And then, when I became a believer, I started picking up things to do in the church. Amen. And then there's sometimes people will think, well, they know more than the church leaders do. Well, doesn't the pastor know about this need? I know we need more Sunday school teachers. I know we need more people to clean and fix and work and do and be the church. It's obvious to me. I hope it's obvious to you as well. Amen. Paul, let me go back to the Bible. Scripture is always safe. Paul said to his generation in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." The church is so special. God paid the price for the church. He died for it. Then he provided a spiritual food source to keep the church alive. The church. That's how he chose to keep feeding the faithful. Is in the church. You weren't meant to do this all by yourself. You weren't meant to live for God alone. You weren't meant to just serve the Lord all by yourself. God wants you to be in the church. Sorry. Didn't mean to pound it on the pulpit. Kind of was a good effect, I suppose. That was an accident, by the way. God wants you to be in the church. Amen. Very next verse, 29, Acts 20. "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." There's been many churches that were broken apart by people within that own church. Amen. You see, the spirit of Antichrist is also anti-church. The devil does not want the church to be successful. Amen. Verse 31, "Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Amen. God wants us to make it to heaven. He wants us to be saved by being in the church. After all the preaching and the teaching and the reaching, we commend you to God and His Word. What an awesome thing. Thank God for the church. Know this, please. Your inheritance is in the church. Amen. The inheritance in my family is not going to be for my bank account, I can tell you that. It is in the church. Amen. It's the most valuable thing that I can give those that come behind me. Amen. Is a belief in God. Amen. To be a part of the body of Christ, the church. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. You see, every spiritual gift and ministry is meant to be in the church. Amen. It's not just the pastor. It's not just the Sunday school teacher. It's not just one or two selected individuals. That's not what God intended. We're supposed to be a collective body of believers. That your prayers and your walk with God and your intercession and your interaction is a part of the body. Amen. If you're critical of the church, you are in trouble. Watch yourselves. Do a spiritual checkup on your own self. Where is my own prayer life? Where is my faithfulness before God? Is God pleased with my walk before Him? You got to answer these questions for yourself. You got to answer for yourself to God. Maybe there's people that would wonder, Pastor, why are you so passionate about the church? I realized that did not get here by myself. I did not come to this place without the church, without the body of Christ. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 18. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I am convinced that the plan of God in this earth is centered on His truth and on what happens in the church. We can't get there without the Word of God. We can't get there without the presence of God. And we can't get there without the church. Jesus is building the church. It's Jesus that saves people. It's Jesus that draws people. It's Jesus that changes lives and minds and spirits. It's God that redeems us and puts us into the church. The keys of heaven are in the church. God loves the church. It's one of my... The Word of God is above all other books. No other book like it. None on earth are like the law, the Bible. It is unique among all other writings. In Jesus and in His church, it is my highest hope to make heaven. Amen. Through what Jesus did and being in the church, I plan to make it. You too. I hope you too. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10. Let me read beginning at verse 23. Let us, someone say us. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For He is faithful that promised. And let us, someone say us. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Are you encouraging something to do good in the church? Come on with me to the young people's service. It doesn't matter if you're 64 years old. You're still invited. I'm younger than some, older than others. Not, verse 25, get this now, this is important. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Sister Jerry was just speaking of this verse the other night in prayer meeting. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Some people don't think it's important if you go to church or not. That is not a godly outlook. In fact, it is against Scripture. Scripture says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Take a look at the world scene today. It could be that the fulfillment of New Testament Scripture is about to be fulfilled. And the sixth trumpet, the war, could happen today in Israel. It could happen. Do you see the fulfillment of, you know, the possibility of God having the Bible be fulfilled before your eyes? Get yourself in church. It's not time to be on your own. It's not time to go somewhere else. It's not time to find a new hobby. It's not time to find a new place to be. Get yourself in the church. Even as you see the day approaching. I've watched a lot of end time videos. I've read the Bible. I know what it says. Amen. I tell you, God is fulfilling His word before our eyes. Praise the Lord. Get in the church. We are told not to forsake the church, as the manner of some is. There have always been some that neglect the church. You know, they don't put it as a priority in their life. Think, oh, it's okay if some people go. That's not what the Bible says. If you believe God and His Word, you will be in the church. Amen. There's a magazine called Ministries Today. It's a magazine posted. It's got articles. This is an old portion in this magazine. It's a periodical for pastors and church leaders. It had an article in that magazine that said the top five reasons why people leave the church. That's where I got the title for this from. Why people leave the church. Of course, it is inevitable. People do leave the church. I don't like it. I wish it wasn't so. I wish people would get saved and stay saved and live for God the rest of their life. It'd be much better off. I'm telling you, it's always better for you to live for God. And yet, people leave the church. More often than not, they have received special attention. They've received help. They've received help through difficult times. They've been lifted up when they were hurt. And when they leave, it always hurts. Psalm 52 and verse number 8. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I believe everyone needs to be planted by God in a local church. Not jumping around here and there and willy-nilly go wherever you feel like that day. Get yourself connected to a body of Christ, a local assembly that preaches and teaches the name of Jesus. Amen. A one God, Jesus name, apostolic, holiness believing church. Not just anyone, the right one. Amen. The right one. Get yourself connected. Everyone needs a pastor. I have a pastor. David McDonald is my pastor from Bristol, Connecticut. He could call me tonight and I would be at his home today. I would go there. I would leave, drop what I'm doing, and go there right now. Here, you preach. No. Who? Scared? No. No. He'd do a good job, too. He loves Jesus. Amen. The five top reasons are listed in this article. Number one, roots are not established. Without roots, people tumble in and then they tumble out. If you have no roots, you won't stay connected. You'll fall off. You'll break away. The wind will blow you down with no roots. Sometimes my wife will complain that the bugs or the animals that go underneath the plant and eat the roots, and then the thing just falls over and dies. She's so mad at that little critter. Many people never let God plant them in a church, but we need to be planted in a church. The issue is never, perhaps it doesn't get settled in their mind. Psalm 92, verses 12 to 14. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. This is word of God here. This is from the Bible. Look it up. It's not just on the screen. It's in your Bible. They shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. God wants to bless you in the church. God establishes the local church like trees. We need a root system. Man, we got to study and show ourselves approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. We got to be fed. Yes, at times comforted. But to get that, we got to be plugged in to the church. Jesus is the church builder. And we need to have a passion for what we have been, for where we have been called. Do you think you just tumbleweeded in the front door one day? No, I think there is a plan of God that brought you here. Amen. I believe God planted. God wants, if He hasn't yet, I know that He wants to plant you in the church. To be unmovable. That nothing can persuade you to get out of the church. That nothing can deter you from being in the church. Now, sometimes God does move us. God moved me from Virginia to Connecticut, and then from one part of Connecticut to another part of Connecticut. So God's moved me a couple times in the church. But every time that ever happened, that move happened with the advice and consent, with the blessing of my pastor. Never did I go against the will and the plan of God, the man of God, and just jumping around from church to church. Never. That's not what God has called me to do. Amen. I want to stay where God plants me so that I can flourish, so that I can grow, so that I can produce good fruit in the kingdom of God. Amen. Reason number two. Number one is people don't get planted. They don't have roots. Reason number two, connections are not made. This is reasons from this Christian magazine. Now, each church is different. I believe our church is different from all other churches that I know of. We have a very biblical belief that a system that is the same in our fellowship. We all believe the same thing. We believe that, well, you know what we believe. Jesus Christ is the Almighty God. You got to be baptized. You got to repent, be baptized in Jesus' name, be filled with the Holy Ghost, live a holy life. Those are foundational truths of the Word of God. But each church and its people in its character, in its mannerisms are different. Churches are different. Not only are roots going down important, but connections going out are important. Amen. It's important that I get to know my brother or sister in Jesus Christ, in the church. That I get to know more than just my wife and children. That I get to know the person sitting in the pew that's near me, or the man or the woman that has like situations, or we need to connect with others in the church. If you're in the church and you don't have connections, that's not the will of God. God wants you to be connected to people in the church. Get connected in the church. And yes, the bigger the church gets, you will not be able to be close to everyone in the church. But you do need a few saints that you can and will be close to in the church. It's needful. I think of a porcupine. Porcupine's not real nice to cuddle up to. So maybe if you take down your sharp points, you can get closer to people in the church. I'm trying to be nice. I am. I'm trying. Don't be so pokey. Sharp needles. Some never connect. Some never connect to the vision of the pastor. I'm convinced that God, it is from the beginning, God that gave me a vision of this church. Before I ever came here to New London County, God gave me a vision of this church. And what the members would do in this church. Many come to church to be fed. And yes, you need to be spiritually fed. But there's some that never really catch on. There's some that come with their own agenda. You know, I've had some come in the church. Oh, I am Pastor so-and-so. Or I'm an Apostle so-and-so. You know what that just does for me? My warning signs go up all over the place. Danger, danger, danger. Watch this person. But God wants to use you in the church. Amen. If God plants you in church, it is for you to help fulfill the vision of that church. Amen. I hope this doesn't hurt your feelings. But it's not vice versa. It's not the church's obligation to fill all the vision of all the people that come into the church. It's for you to fulfill God's vision for that church. Amen. God wants to bless you in the church. All right, let me move on. I got three more and four more minutes. 5 minutes. Reason number three, running from the truth. The foundational doctrine of the Word of God is indisputable. It's not up for negotiation. It is undeniable. It is unchangeable. We are not preaching something else. We will preach Jesus Christ. Amen. The truth. The truth is like nothing else. The truth is able to save your soul. The truth is able to set you free. The truth by nature brings conviction with it. You know, it's meant for you to change your life in the church. Truth is the road by which conviction flows into our life. We need to hear the truth. Some people run away from the truth, but the truth will make you free. Amen. Reason number four. Because of offense. Now this is so common in churches all across America. Perhaps all across the world. This is so true. Proverbs 18 verse 19. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. And their contentions are like the bars of a castle. Man, once you've offended somebody, it's really hard to win them back. You know what? This may sound easier said than done, but it would be so much easier if you just learned not, someone say not, not to get offended. Sometimes people say stupid stuff. Sometimes they don't even know what they're saying. They don't realize what they did. Just get over it. Don't allow yourself to be offended. If you get offended in the church, it will hurt you. To the point, it's possible you may leave the church. Don't let an offense chase you away from God. Don't lose your soul over what somebody else said. That just doesn't make any good sense to me. Don't let it happen. Don't be caught up in that. Psalms 119, verse 165. Great peace have they which love the law. Get this now. And nothing, someone say nothing, nothing shall offend them. If you really love Jesus, if you really love the Word, if you really want to stay in the church, don't let yourself be offended. Just refuse to let yourself be offended. Praise the Lord. I had a whole bunch more on this, but I'm going to skip to the last one. Reason number five, and I'm closing with this one. The loss of hunger. Sometimes people leave because they simply lose their hunger for the things of God. In my mind, I can never imagine getting enough of God. I'm more hungry for God now than I have ever been in all my life. I want more of God in my life than I have ever had before. I tell you, I've been privileged. I've heard great preaching. I've been in great churches. I've seen great things in God. But I want to see more. It's not enough. I want more of God. I want to understand more. I want to have more. I want to go deeper in His Word. I want to walk further in His love. I want to know more about who God is, what He does, what He likes, what He doesn't like. I want to please Him more tomorrow than I did today. Don't lose your hunger. Don't lose your hunger for God. Amen. If a person doesn't flow with the church, I hate to even say this, but I have to. If a person doesn't flow with the presence of God in the church, because of the carnal nature of man, because we're human beings, if you're not allowing yourself to be influenced by the presence of God in giving in to the will of God, if you're not listening to the plan and the purpose of God in the church, guess what? It will irritate you. I've had people get mad at the evangelist for preaching in the church. I've had people get mad at what I've preached in the church. And at the same time, God move and people be filled and souls be saved and miracles happen and a great move of God is happening in the church. And yet there are some that didn't get into the flow of the plan and the presence of God moving in the church. And they got irritated by the very same service where miracles were happening. Souls were being saved. And great increase in the kingdom was happening. Some people would say, well, I'm not being fed at that church. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. I'll tell you, this church feeds the saints good food. There's good spiritual food served here. If you'll belly up and eat a plate full of it, it'll make you strong in the spirit. It'll be good for your soul. But if you'll reject, oh, I don't like greens. I love greens. Well, in the spirit, love some Holy Ghost. Love the moving of God. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 10. Sometimes people just get caught up in the world. They get their mind on other things. They get their mind on things out there in the world, outside the church and outside the kingdom of God and out there in the flesh and in the society or in their family or in their relationship or in their friendships or with other places and things. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. If you're caught up in the things in the world, it will pull you away from the church. It will. It's not a maybe or might or sometimes. That's all the time every time you get caught up in things in the world, it will pull you away from the church. Amen. And when you get pulled out of the church, it doesn't just affect your life. It'll affect your house, your home, your relationship, your job, your friends, people you know. It'll affect everything in your life. Whatever the reason, people will come and go. Many will take and never seem to give back. It's an occupational hazard of working in the church. People do come. I hope they stay, but sometimes they go. So what do we do? Stand with me. I got one more verse of scripture. What do we do when people leave the church? Be still. Refocus. And draw near unto God. Keep yourself saved. Do not leave the church. My closing scripture, Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that ye may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The Lord will see me through. Would you love him? Lord, I love you. I thank you. I praise you. Lord, you're worthy and wonderful, my God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in the church. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done, for keeping me, helping me, leading me, keeping me in the church. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I praise you. I worship you. I adore you. I love you, Lord. I praise you, Jesus. I worship you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Wonderful Savior. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.